So much so that as you read the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, as you read the book of Philippians, you find that Paul, as he went in his missionary journeys, was always careful to report on their situation, and they were even in the process of taking up a love offering to meet the needs of those in Jerusalem who had accepted Jesus as Messiah and thereby had been rejected by their religion, by their family, and by their countrymen. Because of that difficult situation, some were thinking of going back unto Judaism, going back upon the faith that they had already professed and pronounced in the Lord Jesus as Messiah. They were used to physical things. They were used to visual things in the Levitical sacrifices and ordinances. Paul wants them to realize the most important facet of their experience in their life is that of faith. And so he goes back in time to remind them how that their forefathers, how that those in time past operated not by things that were seen, not based upon circumstance, but based upon faith. And so we found thus far that in the first 7 verses of Hebrews 11 here, that Paul has discussed the people prior to the great flood of Noah who operated even then according to faith. Now, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They didn't have a Bible to tote around. Nevertheless, God was not hindered. He had a word, he had preachers, and the word was present. Those that knew God operated and lived by faith. We found that Abel demonstrated for us the fact that faith was a worshiping characteristic of a saved person's life. We found that Enoch pictured that faith walked. It walked with God. We found that Noah pictured that a man of faith was a person that was a witnessing person. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Enoch was a preacher of the coming of the Lord in judgment upon the wicked. And so those that lived before the flood, that knew God, lived by faith. Now he's going to move on this morning to another man, a man named Abraham. Now he was very important to the Jewish religion. As a matter of fact, the three great religions of the world all find a relationship with this man Abraham. The Christians find relationship with him in the covenant that was made. The Jew finds relationship to him in the covenant. And the children of Islam, the Muslims, also claim that their religion is derived from the promises that God made with Abraham. And so Abraham is a very significant person in the Bible. Matter of fact, I believe if you look, you'll find that Abraham is mentioned some 76 times in the New Testament. And so he's going to point out here this morning that people before the flood lived by faith, and even after the flood, people lived by faith. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the faith of Abraham. In verse number 8, if you will, let's begin reading. By faith, expression we find all throughout this chapter. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. All right, notice, if you will, in verse 15, he says there that if those individuals had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now, this apply it, if you will, to the Hebrew Christians here. What were they thinking about doing? They were thinking about leaving their faith in Christ exclusively and going back to Judaism. What were they going to do? They were going to return, if you will, to the old religion. And so the apostle here is writing and he's saying, listen, you've got to understand something, that a person that has been saved by faith, who has been regenerated by faith, must live in the capacity of faith, which takes him forward and not going backward. Amen. And so he said, listen, you've got to be mindful of this situation, that you've came from the shadow to the substance. Amen. You've came from the portrait, from the picture, to the reality of the human being, of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer and Savior of mankind. And so we found that in the life of Abel, faith worships. Faith is worshiping. In the life of Enoch, faith is walking. In the life of Noah, faith is witnessing. And in the life of Abraham here, we find that faith is willing. We find that Abraham was called, he was commissioned, and at that point in time, he was willing to follow God. Abraham was a man that we find is a beautiful picture of an individual who, having been saved, who coming to know the truth in his life, being religious in past times, neighbor, having come to know the truth of God, the only true God, he not only accepted it in his heart and in his mind, but he was an individual who followed from that point in time what his God wanted him to do. And so he's telling these Hebrew Christians, listen, if you have been saved by faith, then you must live by faith. The Bible says four places, and I preached on this before, the most often quoted verse in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Amen. I want to tell you, if you've got a faith that you believe is going to put you on the streets of glory one day, then you ought to live by that faith. Amen. Amen. You ought not just talk it, but you ought to walk it. Amen. And so he's saying here, listen, a faith that saves makes an individual willing to follow God in whatever he has said. And so, based upon that, we find, first of all, that Abraham, the man of faith, was willing in that he was willing to wander into unseen places. Now, think about this. God appeared unto Abraham, according to the verse 8, when he was called, he said, to go into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now we know from the book of Genesis, chapters number 11 and 12, that God appeared unto Abraham in a place known as Ur of the Chaldees. It was a place later to be known as Mesopotamia, in the area right now that we would call Kuwait and southern Iraq. And so the Lord appeared unto him and called him to go out of that place, but he didn't give him a map. He didn't give him directions. He didn't give him a name of the place that he was going to. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, we just got back on vacation from Tennessee. I had a notebook with maps I'd printed out with destinations and places on it. I stopped at the Welcome Center, got me a road map of Tennessee. I got me a map of Memphis, Tennessee. I knew where I was going when I left here. I knew how to get there because I had a road map. Amen. Knew the name of every of the cities. I knew the name of every street. But I want to tell you something, neighbor. Abraham didn't have that luxury. When God called him, he simply said, get out, go out. He didn't tell him where. He didn't tell him what. He didn't tell him anything except it's just time for you to get up and go. Now I want to tell you something. That is what we would call blind faith in society today, amen. But in the Bible calls it great faith, amen. So much so that Abraham is referred to in the book of Romans chapter 4 as the father of all them that believe. Why? Because he was a man that was willing to believe God despite the circumstance, the situation, or that which could be seen. Now let's bring it back to the Hebrew Christians. Who were they? They were individuals who were raised in Judaism. They were accustomed to seeing things. They saw the formality and the beauty of the temple. They saw the lambs, the goats, and the bullocks that were marched to that brazen altar that were slain and their blood that flowed. They were used to things that were seen, and their religion related to things that were seen. But faith relates to what? Things that are unseen. Everything in this chapter goes right back with reference to verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so he's saying this, listen, faith is not based or built upon evidences and things that we see or that we relate to physically, but it's based simply upon things that are unseen, that are revealed to us and related to us by one medium and one mode. What's that? The Word of God. And so the Bible tells us here that when the Lord appeared unto him and he said, go out, Abraham didn't argue. Abraham didn't dispute. He got up and he went out. He was called and he was commissioned and he didn't question God. He just got up and he left, not even knowing where he was going. Now I'm going to tell you something. That takes faith. A faith that is willing is one that will wander into unseen places. Now this ought to be real to you. If you read those letters out there on that board from the missionaries we support, if you have any concept of all of the condition of this world and the situations that missionaries are going through today, you might understand a little bit about what this is saying here, amen, of individuals who are willing to wander into unseen places, places they've never been before, learning languages that they never knew before, speaking to people that have never heard the gospel before, amen. Why do they do that? Is it because the pay is good? You better believe it. There ain't nothing to that, amen. No, they are doing it because they have received a call and a commission from God. And just like Abraham stepped out and got out on faith, they have done the same thing, amen. Now I want to tell you, I can't admire them enough for that, amen. I tell you that when the time comes when we stand before God, God will reward those people more than the presidents of all of the religious conventions in this world and organizations. They are the ones that have gone out on faith, amen. That's why I like to be a part of their program, amen, and a part of their support, amen, because God honors those who have faith. And so faith steps out and wanders in the places that are unseen. I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says when a man gets saved, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he becomes a new creature. That word literally means a new creation. He's just created all over again. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It's a new experience. And you know something? When I got saved, I didn't know where I was headed in this life. I didn't feel no different. I didn't look no different. Amen. Had the same personality, the same physical flaws and emotional flaws. Amen. Nothing was any different in that respect. I didn't know what was going on. A neighbor, I just know I'd gotten saved. And I want to tell you, I didn't know it at the time, but my life would never, ever be the same. You know what happened? I began a life of faith, childish even as it was, and as we all begin as children, amen, headed in direction. I didn't know where I was going. But I want to tell you something. When I first got saved, I had a faith that if God said it, it had to be so, it was so, and that was the end of the question, amen. And so when we get saved, the faith that we say is going to carry us to heaven, Neighbor, it should be sufficient for us to live by from day to day. It ought to make us willing to follow the Lord. Now, Jesus demonstrated that truth in His ministry, in His life. Jesus, when He went out, He went to some Peter that I feel that He probably knew in life, and He went to them and He said, "Hey, come follow Me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." They knew about physical fishing. They knew about seen things. He was going to teach them about unseen things. Now, I want you to look at something here. When Jesus called those individuals, they didn't know He was who He was. You examine it in John chapter 2. He first began to reveal Himself at a wedding when He performed His first miracle of changing the water into the wine. You know what the Bible says? And there He first manifested His glory unto His disciples. He didn't perform a miracle and then go and say, "Okay, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Nathaniel, you come follow Me based upon what you've seen." He called them before they ever saw Him perform one miracle. Amen. What was that? That's exactly what we're talking about here. A step of faith. You follow God. You're willing to follow God, irregardless of the circumstances or the consequences, just simply because God has convicted you and convinced you of something. Amen. That's what faith is. It doesn't sit stagnant, amen, and breed sludge, slime, and mosquitoes, amen. It's willing to do what God... Now, I want to tell you something. I would say that almost all of us here this morning, we're willing to go to heaven. Amen. We're willing to go to heaven. I mean, we may be reluctant. Things are going pretty good for us right now. But most of us are willing to say that when I die, I want to go to heaven. Isn't that true? Sure, we're willing for that. But I want to tell you something. God, you that are saved, every one of you that God saved, He saved you for a purpose. He called you when He saved you and He commissioned you. He's got something for you to do. He's got a place for you to do it. And neighbor, the faith that's going to get you to heaven is the faith that is going to make that real and operative in your life. All we have to do is get the priorities straight. See, that's our problem. We are a priority-stricken society. Amen. I mean, there's not 24 hours in a day anymore because we say, just don't have time to do nothing. Isn't that true? No, the problem is we've got our lives so cluttered with everything secular that we don't have time to fit God in anywhere to do what God's called us to do. But I want to tell you, greatest thing ever happened to you in your existence was getting saved, amen. And God hadn't called you, amen, to do you harm. God's called you to do you good and to accomplish something in your life. Amen. And so Abraham was willing. He was willing to wander in unseen places that he'd never been before. Now, what did that mean? It meant three things. First of all, it meant he was willing to leave the past behind. He was willing to leave the past behind. If you look in Joshua 24 right now or a little bit later, I want to read you something that Joshua said in his farewell address to the children of Israel. Verse number 2, listen. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Okay, what does that tell us? That tells us that Abraham was not raised to know the true God. Abraham was not raised in what we would call today a Christian environment. He didn't have Christian parents. His daddy, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11, was a man named Terah. Terah was an individual who was accustomed and a part of the religion of Mesopotamia that worshipped many gods, but primarily they worshipped the goddess of the moon. And so he came from a nation, a family, a heritage, if you will, of idolatry. And so it's no wonder that when God appeared unto him, He said, "Get you out of that place." Amen. God can never educate us. He can never teach us what He wants us to know until God separates us from that which is wrong and that which is false. Amen. You know the hardest thing that any educator will tell you to do is to do in this world It's to unlearn something, if there's such a word. It's to take an individual who has been raised and taught to believe in something and get that out of their mind. You must come with some convincing power and truth to change their attitude. Amen. And I won't deal real deep with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny right now because I don't want to bust no bubbles of little ones here, but you know what I'm talking about. I can remember my mean sisters when I was little taking me to a closet and opening it up and there was a blue bicycle. Wait a minute. I've been raised to believe in this big fat red fella all my life. And I stood there aghast and looked at them giggling and with mixed emotion saying, "What's going on?" But I was unlearned in something at that point in time when on Christmas morning I saw that same blue bike sitting there where there were supposed to have been some tracks on the floor. You see what I'm saying? Amen. He wasn't raised in that environment. And Jay can laugh because he knows those two sisters, how they are. Abraham wasn't raised to know God. Amen. But there came a time when the word of the Lord came his way. Amen. Now, let's think about that. Abel received faith through the word he received from his mother and daddy. Enoch found faith in the birth of a son named Methuselah. Noah received his faith from the word that was revealed to his daddy, Lamech. Where did Abraham get his faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word had to come by him somehow. Now, if you'll consult a timeline sometime, you will find that the timeline of Noah's son Shem went beyond the life, or the birth rather, of this man Abraham. Shem was the one after whom the Jewish people, or those Eastern people, are referred to as Semites. Literally, Shemites. We know from what is written about him that he was an individual that knew God. Some even believe that he was the man Melchizedek to whom Abraham paid tithes. I don't know. No doubt that Shem was an individual who knew the Word of God and who shared the Word of God. But listen what the Bible says in the book of Acts. How that this man, Abraham, came to experience this faith by the Word of God. In the book of Acts chapter 7, we find one of the greatest sermons in the Bible preached by a man other than Jesus. His name was Stephen. After he got through with his message, they killed him. Acts chapter number 7, he said this in verse number 2. And God said, and Stephen said, he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." So, where and how did Abraham get his word? God appeared unto him. How many of you would like that to happen to you? Boy, you know, if God would just appear in my bedroom, if God would just speak from heaven with an audible voice. I'll tell you what I said before I got saved when I was an agnostic, borderline atheist. No such real thing as a true atheist. I said this, if there's a God in heaven, why don't he appear and make himself known? Well, all anybody has to do is look toward their coffee table and find that Bible that had been there for years, that's under all of the dust, and pick it up. He has appeared from heaven. He has spoken and revealed himself. I just was looking toward the skies when I ought to have been looking toward the book that he left. And, of course, that's what happened in a relatively short period of time after that. Amen. How many would like for God to appear to them some way and speak the Word of God to them? Oh, you say, man, if God would just do that, if God would just do that, I'd believe what he said and better believe I'd do something about it. I want to tell you, Peter said you've got a more sure word of prophecy. He stood on that mount as Jesus was transfigured. He saw his glory. He heard the voice of God from the heaven where he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him." Neighbor, he heard that voice. He said, "I want to tell you something. We've got a more sure word of prophecy." And you read the entire epistle of 2 Peter. He's talking about the Word of God. I want to tell you, the world has maligned this book. They've retranslated this book. They've sliced this book. They've denied this book. They've secularized this book, but this book is the Word of God. And if it's not, somebody help us. We're in a mess. We're headed for a hell that ain't nothing but a devil in. Amen. That's right. I want to tell you something. God appeared unto him and spoke to him and said, get out of here. God manifested himself, neighbor, by his own choice. He didn't choose Abraham because he was good like Shem. He didn't choose Abraham because any merit in him. God chose Abraham because God decided he wanted to call this idolater, save him, call him out, commission him, and through his loins bring about the greatest revelation of the one true God that there ever would be. Right after the flood, when God had destroyed the whole world of mankind. After the flood, they came together in unanimity against God and building that Tower of Babel in rebellion. God confused their tongues and scattered them to the ends of the earth. How's God going to reach these people now? Abraham. This man, Abraham, is going to reveal to this world that there is but one true God. Only way he could do that was to be willing to leave the past behind. We get saved today, you know what we want to do? We want to clutch and hang on to the old things of the past. Abraham, it cost him his family. It cost him his fortune. He was a wealthy man. It cost him his homeland. It cost him everything. Amen. When he left, you know what he did? You know what happened when I first got saved? I thought everybody ought to get saved. I wanted everybody to know about it and thought they'd get saved, and they didn't. You know what Abraham no doubt did after God appeared to him, went to Daddy. Daddy, guess what? The one true God's appeared unto me. And he began to testify to his family. Only problem was this. When he left, he took them with him. They held him up in Haran for a number of years. Till finally his daddy died. God never called him to go any further than Haran after Daddy was dead. You know why? He had to leave the things of the past behind. That don't mean you have to forsake your family nor turn your back on your family. But what it means is that you have to prioritize things in a spiritual way, and you have to therefore put God above family connections. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do, isn't it? Yes, it is. I won't tell you. The Bible says honor your mother and your father, and you ought to love your family. But I want to tell you something else. You ought to love God more. You ought to love your children, but you ought to love God more. He's the one who gave them to you. Amen. That's right. You ought to be willing to leave the things of the past behind. You ought to be able to willing to leave your sin of your past behind. Amen. And take out with God. That's what faith does. It causes somebody to take out for God. Not only was he willing to leave the past behind, but he was willing now to live by the promise of God. Amen. He was willing to live by the promise of God. Look, if you will. He said in the middle of verse 8 there that he would receive an inheritance. He obeyed. God gave him a promise. Verse 9, the first part says, by faith he sojourned. He temporarily remained, he says, in the land of promise. When he left his wealth, when he left his family, when he left his security, he stepped out on faith and he was willing to survive how? Simply based upon the promises of God. Simply based upon the promises of God. Now, we feel secure when we have money in the bank, when we have debts paid for, when the house is paid for, the car is paid for, when things are took care of like that, we find security in that. But Abraham didn't find security in that. As his faith grew, you know where he began to find his security? In the promises of God. God said, I'm going to give you a land. God said, I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a people. And he made a whole lot of other promises. And you know what? From that point on, he began to live by that promise. Now, God said, I'm going to give you a son. Now listen. Abraham was 75 years old when he got saved. He lived to be 175, but he was 75 years old when he got saved and began to follow God. But God said, when he was 100, you're going to have a boy. Huh? Now, you see, that meant there had to come a change in Abraham's life once again. That's what faith does. It always changes in your life. Why? Because we find that Abraham was attached to a young boy he carried with him named Lot. And he thought that Lot was going to be his heir, and therefore heir of the promise. But God appeared when he was 100 years old and said, no. Later he said Eleazar, his household servant, after Lot was gone to Sodom, was going to be his heir. What? He's having to learn to live by the promises of God and what he has said. So, what happens now? What happens whenever God appears to Abraham and says, you're going to have a son 100 years old? We're going to talk about him later tonight. You know what happened? They laughed. I don't think they were laughing at God's ability. I really don't. I think they were laughing because it was just kind of humorous to them that a woman that had been barren all of her life and now was 90-something years old, and a man who was 100 years old, the Bible said him, one as good as dead. He's talking about Abraham there. His loins was as good as dead. How in the world is God going to produce a son from this? And you know what they did? They chuckled. God heard it. And so God said, I won't tell you what to name that boy when he's born. What's that? What's that, God? Name him Laffy. Laughter. That's what the word Isaac means. So you see what began to happen. Not only did he leave his past behind, but he learned to live in belief of the promises of God based upon them. And so you see his life moving in a progression where through what he goes through and the things that he faces in life, he begins to grow and to learn to be more and more willing to do what God tells him to do. You know, we who have been Christians 15, 20, 25 years, we ought to be more willing to do what God wants us to do than young people. But you know, a lot of times we find that the exact opposite is true. Amen. God said, listen. He said, this is not going to be your heir. But he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Listen. Listen, we don't live by that which is seen or that which is secure as far as this world is concerned. We live by faith, faith that is based upon the precious promises of God. Listen to here. I think it's 2 Peter. Yes, in verse number 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what he said. According to his divine power, he hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called you to glory and virtue. Now listen, talking about Christ. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen. Abraham escaped the world and the lust thereof when God called him out. And God gave him exceeding and precious promises, amen, to build upon and to live by. And that became his mode of living. Notice, whenever Lot went down to Sodom to become the mayor of that city, you know who should have been down there? And I put that in the secular sense. Who would have been their choice and was their choice? Huh? Abraham. When the five kings of the plain attacked Sodom and took their king and Lot captive, who was it that went and delivered them in battle? It was Abraham. Who do you think they would have gladly set in the highest seat in Sodom if he'd been willing to go? Abraham. You know where Abraham stayed? He stayed in his tents out there with God. Why? He knew this world was not his home, that he was just a passing through. Look in verse number 9, Hebrews 11. It's expressed there. By faith he sojourned. He traveled temporarily in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was willing to leave behind the past. He was willing to live believing the promise. And he was willing to look beyond the present. Oh, if he was going to look at the now and now, you know what he'd done? He'd have went down to Sodom and he'd have run that thing. Probably thinking maybe he could have straightened it out. Huh? But see, he looked beyond. He realized this world was not his home and he had no place involved in the corruption of this world, being involved in it. He was a stranger and he was a pilgrim. And so, when you get saved and you begin to live by faith, you leave the past behind, forgetting all of the sins, all the iniquities, and all the wrong you've ever done. It's been forgiven, been put under the blood. You begin to live in belief of the promises of God that He's given us in His Word. And then you begin to look beyond this present life. I want to tell you something. Ann and I cut an article out in the Memphis newspaper while we were there about a French lady, met him in the paper here, oldest woman. She died the other day at the age of 122. Boy, that's a long life, ain't it? But I want to tell you something. Compared to eternity, it doesn't amount to a grain of sand. If you go down to this beach down here and pick up one grain of sand and separate it and compare that to all the sand on the seashore, you yet have not compared 122 years with eternity. I want to tell you the only way you'll ever live a successful life of faith, you've got to look beyond the present and realize that you're just a temporary individual here, that your citizenship is really in heaven, and that's where you are destined, and that is where you are bound. And so, don't get attached to things in this life that bind you down and hold your affections here. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 said this. He said, wherefore? He said, if you have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies, he said, then set your affections on things that are above. Abraham, if he'd had a mind to, if his heart would have been in Mesopotamia, he'd have went back. Isn't that what it said? If he was mindful of it. If his heart was in Mesopotamia, he'd have went back. If your heart is in this world and you can't not look forward and beyond the present, then neighbor, you're going to wind up back in the past. And that's what happened to many a person who has heard the gospel. Amen. We're headed to a new place. My heart's not here. My heart is there because He's there. And I want to tell you how you can get there today and how I know that I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm white, not because I'm American, not because I'm a preacher. I'm going because of faith. Amen. Faith in what? Faith in what the Word of God has said concerning the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. Amen. Now the world may make fun of it. They may pollute it and dilute it. But I want to tell you something. If I get to heaven, that's the way I'm going to get there. That's the only way I'm going to get there. If you get there, you're going to get there because you trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and the work that He did on Calvary's tree for you. It won't be because you're good. It won't be because you're bad. It won't be because you are anything except saved by faith. Now, that's what that word faith means. It means to trust something completely. Abraham trusted God completely or he'd have never went out. And the only way that you're going to go to heaven is because you today say this, God, I trust You completely with my soul. When I die, I'm going to lose my grip on it. And God, if it's not in Your hands, it's going to fall in the depths of hell. God, I'm trusting You with it. Now, let me ask you. If you trust God with that soul, that which Jesus said was the most valuable thing that you had, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you trust Him with your soul, can you not trust Him with your temporary life? And as a stranger and a pilgrim, walk with God and live for God and trust Him with the daily problems that we have in this life? If we have genuine faith, then we ought to be able to do it. And if we're not doing it, then we are disobedient. And now what He said? When God called Abraham, what did He do in verse 8? He obeyed. He was willing. He was willing. Are you willing to give your heart to Jesus today? Are you willing to live for Him? Then I'd invite you to do that.